the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
A Nickelodeon original podcast.
Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements ad-free with Avatar Braving the Elements Premium
on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe today.
Hello, friends, benders, and non-benders alike. Welcome to Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast about all things Avatarverse. I'm Janet Varney.
And I'm Dante Bosco. And Varney, I'm going to have to immediately call you on the fact that you've clearly decided to add a little detail to your wardrobe today in honor of today's Avatar episode.
Yeah, that's right. Because I'm a dork.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Do you like my headband? Do you like my headband, Dante?
I do like the headband, and I was a little jealous of it, and so I went out and got myself a hood.
Yeah.
As Zuko is hooded out in much of this episode.
Yeah, I'm actually really glad. I can't believe that we both had the same idea to come in costume. I'm shocked. I'm glad that you like it. I'm glad that you are hooded. I hope that doesn't mean that you are off to collect a bounty hunter to seek someone.
No.
Hopefully not me. I'm wearing the headband because, conveniently enough, we are going to be talking about episode 2 of book 3 today, the headband. See?
Yes, but we're not alone. We're not doing it alone. We are very happy and to be rejoined by a friend of the podcast and the writer of the episode, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John O'Brien.
Hello, hello. I am also incognito to go with you to the Fire Nation.
Yes, we gotta be incognito.
Complete with hat and sunglasses.
Yes, you gotta be, because we can't let nobody know. I mean, I could go
right
there. What's ironic is Zuko could walk around Fire Nation all day long because I'm the prince of the Fire Nation. However, I choose to also incognito.
If I may point out, and I know this is rushing ahead to the very end, you don't want people to know that you think the Avatar might still be alive. I need to just remind everyone, we haven't seen John for a minute. We had him on, and we very quickly came to realize that this is the person who created the Cabbage Merchant. Okay?
I know.
Could have been an eggplant merchant. Could have been a cantaloupe merchant. It's the cabbage merchant because of
this. Can you give us a little background, a little inside track on that?
I like to think that, you know, he comes from a long line of people who grew an heirloom strain of cabbage.
Ah.
And it's all he knows. I don't know. I just made that up just now. So let's not.
What writer magic?
I would not. That's off the top of my head for cabbage.
Cabbage. I wonder. I mean, I've met quite a few cabbage men, cosplayers throughout the years, that some come with their cabbage carts. Very, very good. Always a crowd pleaser. Always a crowd pleaser.
Speaking of lazily named characters, we're going to have one at the very end of this episode as well. That is legit the name of the character it's legitimately the name that we refer to the guy as.
Yes.
Our entire time in the writer's room. And I don't think he ever gets another public facing proper name.
Yeah. Bright gave us a little
background. It keeps him scarier.
Combustion man. Yeah.
Way scarier. He's not a human. He's combustion man. Which I guess does make him a human, but whatever. Actually,
I'm jumping to the end of the episode. Sorry.
No. Actually, I'm really glad you brought that up, because we happen to know from a recent chat with Mike and Brian that it was Combustion Man was born out of, if I may, the nuclear fallout of an idea that you had during the writer's retreat when you guys went to Santa Barbara for book 3. Do you remember what I'm talking about, my friend?
No. Okay. Please tell.
You pitched the idea of the Fire Sages working together and combining forces to create nuclear power in a destructive type manner.
Wow.
I don't want to over, like, I could be misrepresenting, but I feel like Brian said something like, oh God, no, 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 no.
Yeah, that sounds like the biggest drag ever. And if I really did pitch that, then Brian was right to say that.
And then he said
that. Are we talking about mushroom clouds here? Mushroom clouds, that's what we're talking about.
But he said that what came out of that was the concept of Combustion Man, that there was still this idea of being able to, like, you know, very, very carefully direct your power and energy into essentially just destroying something with your mind. So that's why you pitch everything, right, John? That's why you come with your worst ideas. To a retreat.
Because they might turn into gold. Yeah.
Because they might.
Sometimes alchemy happens, yeah, and this terrible lead gets turned into gold.
Yes. Yes. That made me feel good, because I feel like I've pitched a lot of bad ideas, and it is a reminder that, because this is a terrifying character, and he is someone that we never really find out that much about. You know, some of these characters we end up getting a backstory on and we're like, oh, I guess there's a reason they are who they are. Or, you know, now I can kind of identify with them. I feel some empathy for them. Nobody's doing that with Combustion Man.
Not about Combustion Man.
Yeah. Nobody's
Combustion
out
Man,
to do
no,
that.
No. When I first saw him, it reminded me a little bit of He-Man or something, like Ram Man in He-Man. There's a character in He-Man called Ram Man. And I was Combustion Man, Ram Man.
There you go.
I don't know. That's just me.
No, this is good to know. I'm trying to remember if I don't remember Ram Man. I'm gonna have to look that up. Definitely gonna have to look
it's
that
just
up.
A Ram. He just Ram things. He was
powerful. Him down and he had a little lever.
Exactly.
On his
I know exactly what you're talking about. I do remember Ram Man. Okay.
Ram Man. The thing about Combustion Man is he, I mean, we only see him a little in this episode, but when he goes in the future, he is OP. He is very powerful. He's very very powerful.
It's like, why is this guy not taking over the world?
Why is he not Fire Lord? This guy can do a lot of things.
We don't know how smart he is. Let's talk about that first, just one second. We don't know. Is he craving leadership? Is he a person who's craving leadership, or is he there to get the job done in the most nefarious way possible?
Yeah, he seems like he's probably a follower, but a very powerful follower.
He's your ace in the hole follower.
Clearly willing to do what Zuko says. So
Zuko is the prince of the Fire Nation.
So Combustion Man.
He's back in good graces.
He's back. Yeah. This has good Zuko stuff in it, this episode. Actually,
this has a lot. I didn't realize.
It's my favorite scene with him and May. Where they're just talking about how they don't hate each other.
Can we get
Oh my God, we better get into it.
We got to get into it.
Yeah, this
we
got to
get into it. Before we get into this episode, let's do just a big shout out to Giancarlo for joining us for last week's discussion of The Awakening.
Oh, you guys had Giancarlo?
Yes, dude. Giancarlo, where Aang discovers his, recovers from his mortal wounds, and Zuko's reunited with his father, and Katara and Sokka reunited with their father, and Team Avatar decides to hide out in the Fire Nation, letting everyone think that Aang's dead, which leads us to this episode The Headband.
Again, I just shout out to the titles, because The Awakening has so much gravitas. The name,
yes.
You know where I'm going with this. The name, The Awakening, is like, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the birth of a civilization? I mean, this is big stuff. And then we roll into the headband.
The accessory, yeah.
The head.
It's a very important accessory.
But nowadays, people just sweat into their eyes, and it's a
sweat into their nightmare. It's what's going on here?
And I also do want to shout out the fact that I am wearing my Flameo shirt. We will be talking about that more as well. We've talked about what happens a little bit in this episode. There's a lot going on. There is homage to a classic 80s movie. I know we're going to get into that in a little bit, but here we are. We know that Aang has to stay undercover because everyone believes that the Avatar is dead. And it took him a minute to get used to that idea, but now he's sort of embraced it. They are going to be hiding as Fire Nation citizens in the Fire Nation. And here we see that kind of happening. We see that Aang kind of gets the experience of being a kid in a school, like in a way that he
normal
would never,
kid normal
yeah, being
kid.
A normal kid, and there's things about that appeal to him, despite you know, the challenges that he faces through it. So, and we find some interesting stuff out about how the Fire Nation kind of manipulates information about history. And so there's some really great stuff that happens. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I don't mean manipulates. I mean the Fire Nation has a different perspective on their history. Like, they just make up the idea that someone has an army when they never did. It's cool. No, I love the Fire Nation.
Come on.
I love the Fire Nation. I especially love Ozai. He's a good guy. This episode, we've said it before. We're going to say it again. This episode, while directed by the amazing Joaquin Dos Santos, was written by our buddy that you are looking at right now.
This was actually one of my favorite episodes to write, believe it or not, because it's such a – sometimes the small stories to me are the most fun.
Yes.
And this was like – like, it's not anybody doing anything super dangerous or trying to blow something up. It's just like interpersonal stuff. And sometimes that's the most fun to write and watch, I think. So it's different that it's like, I don't know. Like you said, it goes from this, you know, big thing to the headpan.
In a good way.
But yeah, exactly.
All right, let's jump in. This episode opens on a very cool view of where Ozai's palace is inside this kind of volcano basin. It's night. Zuko's having trouble sleeping. And I did have this thought when the episode opened this way. What I am wondering, and I know things are about to be different, but like up to this exact moment, where Zuko is having trouble sleeping, through the entire series up to this point, where Zuko's having trouble sleeping, I wonder how many actual real life human minutes we have seen Zuko be truly happy. Like, I don't know if there are that many. I feel like you can count them down. Like, I feel like if you have a little stopwatch and you go through the first two books of the show, the last episode leading up to this moment, cabbage heads, if indeed that's what we're calling you, I would like you to tell me, find me on social media. I'm at the JV Club on Instagram. I would like to know how many human real life minutes you think pass in which you would confidently say that Zuko is happy leading up to this moment. I feel like it's like 1 minute.
Very rare. Very rare to see a Zuko. I mean? There was the minutes going into the end of last season when he was happy with his uncle, the tea shop. There was like 30 seconds.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's very measurable, and I think it's going to be a small amount. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Help us out. I want to know what your take is. I want to know how many seconds. You can do it in seconds if you don't want to do it in minutes. Maybe it's only seconds.
Oh, they got it. I'm sure it's already out there. I'm already sure. Already sure it's out there.
Send it over to us. We want to know what you think. So surprise, surprise, Zuko's troubled. We all know what that looks like. He's gotten out of bed. He heads to the prison tower. But he turns his back when a guard asks who's out there. So he kind of, you know, skulks away. It's morning. And we sort of now are we're away from Zuko. We're away from that volcano basin, and we're following a very intentional cloud that's very much headed in a very specific direction. It is also talking, and it is our friends, Team Avatar. Shout out to the cute little kind of turtle iguana thing. And then there are some puffins, you know, like to shout out those animal hybrids. I'm not sure the puffins are a cross with anything. John, I highly doubt that you would know off the top of your head, but do you know if those birds are? You do?
I believe they are toucan puffins.
They did look kind of, I wouldn't even know what to call them, puffins. But if you call them a toucan, I would say, yeah, it's a toucan. Yeah,
that's what I'm told.
Two of my favorite cereals together at last.
Hey! We're in enemy territory. Those are enemy birds.
Of course, we said it before, the cloud is Team Avatar, more or less led by just a real covert ops version of Sokka. He does not want the enemy to discover them before they can safely move into a cave. Katara and Aang point out that they probably don't need to be quite that covert. They can probably actually blend in to the town itself if they just get some Fire Nation clothing. And I also want to shout out those little cave hoppers that Momo is very happy to eat. I don't know exactly what a cave hopper is. Maybe you do know that, John. It looks like some sort of white cricket, but maybe there's something else happening there.
It was alive. It was alive.
Before Momo ate them, yes, 100%.
And I thought for a second, because, you know, we know that Aang is vegetarian, like he's an airbender, and we just see that later on the episode. But yeah. I thought maybe Momo was too, because Momo's an airbender, or no?
He's eating Appa. Fish. He likes to get, he eats whatever. Yeah, go ahead, John.
So, actually, I'm going to be this character.
Let's go.
So Momo is not an airbender. Appa is, but Momo is just a flying animal. And he does eat, you know, whatever he can put in his mouth, I think.
He ate these things alive. He ate these things. They were living, and then he bit the head off and swallowed it.
I would say for their questionable beginning, where I think Sokka wanted to eat Momo, they have actually a lot in common. They both are very hungry, and they like to fantasize about eating just about whatever food form they can. So like attracts like. That's all I have to say about that. So the gang is going to get a new wardrobe. I'm going to leave it to you, Dante, to take us into this next portion where we see that happen.
Okay, so the gang, they sneak up on a building, and it's like, I guess it's a cleaning place, maybe a dry cleaner. I don't know. There's a lot of laundry drying on clotheslines. You know, the steam pockets coming from the ground. I don't know.
Is it a laundrette? There's a lot of clothes hanging, John.
I had a lot of things going. I was like, maybe it's a laundry. I don't know.
Or is it just a house?
Guitars. It could be. Who knows?
Oh, Brian's going to tell us right now. Tell us. Brian, is it a laundromat?
John, I actually don't know, but I do know they steal the clothes.
Which is maybe one of the only times
that we see them stealing.
The water scroll. The water bending scroll.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
John,
what a bunch of little thieves.
I love Katara, but she has a little stilly steel in her.
She does.
So Katara's really happy to dive right in and steal. Again, just a PSA to the kids out there, don't steal. Stealing is not good. Don't steal. Definitely don't steal from pirates and also dry cleaners. Don't steal. You don't need to do that. Okay.
Thank you, Bosco.
But if you're in an enemy country where you might die if you get caught.
Steal a little bit.
Steal a little bit. Yeah.
Everyone is taking things. Aang's got a new headband to hide his arrow, which we find later out, which we later find out is a belt. Which, that's cool. And Toph's debating whether to wear shoes, and she figures it out that way. Let me just pause for 1 second.
Yeah.
The beauty shot of Katara
in
the Fire Nation wardrobe. I would like to say she looked very nice.
Yeah.
Fire Nation fashion looks very nice on her and the whole gang.
Yeah.
But come on, you gave Katara the shiny, shiny twinkle, twinkle. It was beautiful.
We did. Yeah.
And it makes Aang blush.
It makes Aang blush for sure. Katang vibes are popping off heavy. But, you know, as they're all in their Fire Nation gear, Katara realizes, you know, Aang, you have the necklace on, the Water Tribe necklace, your mom's necklace. And that was a really beautiful moment. So everyone gets new accessory. Momo gets squished into Aang's shirt, and they're ready to go into the village to integrate themselves into the Fire Nation community.
I used to visit my friend Kuzan here 100 years ago. So everyone just follow my lead and stay cool. Or as they say in the Fire Nation, stay flaming. Greetings, my good Hotman.
Hi. I guess.
And yeah, Aang blends right in. I mean, the thing about John, this episode, you wrote some things that have transcended and have lived on in the Avatar community. Flameo Hotman.
Yeah.
Hotman.
People say that to me.
This is what I'm saying, John O'Brien. Go.
Classic.
Yeah, I want that shirt.
I gotta get you the shirt.
Yeah, it's to me, like Aang clearly knows some stuff about the Fire Nation, but I think he's really winging it with the flaming.
100%.
I don't think anyone's ever said that. I think he's making it up, and he's like, I think to him, like, this is probably what they call each other, I guess. I don't know. And he commits to it.
Oh. He commits to it. He's doing great. He's calling everybody hot man.
I love it
everybody hot man.
So much. I cannot tell you how much I love Aang awkwardly calling everyone hot man. It is hot one man. Of my favorite, funniest moments in the entire series.
Hotman. 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 Hotman.
It's so good. It's so funny.
And they're all, Hotman, they're, Hotman, they're Hotman, all really bad Hotman. At coming up with fake Fire Nation talk. Like
yes.
with Sokka. I mean, maybe I'm jumping ahead, but Sokka yes. taking yes. a name, Wang, Wang Fire.
Wang Fire.
And Sapphire Fire.
Yeah.
It's so Sapphire good. Fire. Greetings, my good Hotman. So, I mean, yeah,
Hotman.
This is these are classics.
Hotman. You, Hotman. Hotman.
Hotman. Hotman. Hotman.
Hotman.
You created the Cabbage Guy. You created Flame Yo Hotman. John.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Dude, this is like lives on. Riches.
I've signed that on many a picture. It's, many a picture I've signed.
Oh, that's crazy.
Flame Yo
wow.
Hotman.
It's a big deal.
And it's on shirts now.
It's on shirts. It's a whole situation. So that's wonderful.
My cabbages,
so they're all Flame blending in. I mean, it's your classic.
You're
stuff.
A legend.
And I do love that they're all blending in, and then they have that meat place thing. And I love the revisiting that he is a vegetarian, but it's not. Yeah, it's great. I think it's a detail that is a very important detail for Aang. And then after that, he immediately gets caught, and then not for a student that is out of school, which makes a lot of sense because he did look like a little young kind of guy there. And now he's taken to Fire Nation school. And they accuse him of not being from the Fire Nation because he must be from one of the colonies, which also was really interesting. And it got me thinking, because the Fire Nation are colonizers and they're winning in their colony. They're taking people, kids from all over the whole world, from different areas, earth, water, and they're bringing them to the Fire Nation and kind of indoctrinating them to the Fire Nation. I start looking at each of the kids' eyes going, oh, that guy's probably from the Water Tribe. Oh, that guy. You know, I was like,
oh,
had me thinking of these things, right?
I thought it was that they send out Fire Nation people to like colonize the areas of the Earth Nation. Now you've got me so wondering if like both things are happening or.
Yeah, because like, you know, how they just took over Ba Sing Se and Earth Kingdom.
Yeah.
So I think as they're colonizing, they're taking some of the kids and going, now come in here and become Fire Nation. And like, what? Like, yeah, like that's why you don't know any of this stuff, because you're not Fire Nation. You're actually Earth Kingdom or Water Tribe or something. And now you're going to be Fire Nation.
It has dark implications for
super
sure.
Dark.
But we,
super dark.
We don't dig into it.
Yeah.
So his first lesson is in bowing etiquette. And then he gets out of taking off his headband by saying that he has a scar, which is, you know, probably because he's friends with Zuko, kind of. He's like, oh, I have a scar.
There you go.
I'm going to cover that up.
Yeah. There you go.
But I'll admit that while I have said in the past that there are a lot of good people in the Fire Nation, I mean, there are some good people, but that yes. teacher is not one of them. The teacher's scary.
She's so mean. I'm not a fan of a teacher being like, let me humiliate you publicly in front of the entire class. That's not my style of teacher. You know what I mean?
But look at all those sweet little kids that are in there with him. They're genuinely nice and...
Agree.
That one kid's not nice, but no. You know,
one kid is a jerk. That guy,
especially if you're referencing 80s movies,
exactly.
Like, where's your popular kid bully?
Exactly.
As uncool as the teacher is, we do see that Aang makes it to the end of the school day, and that even though he even managed to have fun, there's a nice girl that assures him that she won't turn him in for having a monkey smuggled in his shirt. That's Momo. And then we have a very Karate Kid-like moment where a jerk, a popular kid bully, basically tells Aang to stay away from his lady.
Anji, you don't have to babysit the new kid.
Wow. You must be one of those popular kids I've been hearing about.
That's right. Now listen, friend. I know you're from the colonies, so I'll say this slowly. Anji is my girlfriend. Don't forget it.
Aang's not bothered, and he's made some new buddies and seems to be having a pretty good time just doing the thing he's never gotten to do, which is be a regular kid. like he tells Sokka, you don't know what it's like. You get to be normal all the time, which is kind of a nice dig. But at the end of the day, Aang gets back to the cave and, you know, he's met by a very worried Katara, and Sokka is very shocked that and passes out a couple of times, I think, about Aang being enrolled in school.
There's just a lot of very anime whistle synthesized sounds that Ben Wynn, you know, who we've had on the podcast, he really is playing at the top of his game on this one with the comedy.
Nice.
So we're going to play a quick
Good
clip
job,
of that
Ben.
Because Ben nails it with, I want my life to be scored by Ben Wynn, and I want sounds like that to happen when I'm like, they what?
Yeah.
And then I faint. So huge shout out to Ben. That's all.
Great job, Ben. Zuko sneaks into a Fire Nation prison tower and makes the guard promise not to tell anyone that he's been there. I was kind of surprised. The guard just kind of immediately respects him and doesn't treat him as this fugitive prince that he is.
I'm back in the fold, John.
He's like,
Zuko's
yeah, you are.
Back in the fold.
And that guard wilts like a week old daisy.
He does. But we don't even know why he's there yet, right? We just know that he's at the prison, but we don't actually know why.
Right. And then we find Uncle Iroh sitting on the floor of his cell, not looking so good and not even facing Zuko. And yeah, this is, you know, what's going to, their relationship looks like it's irreparable.
Yeah. It's so emotional. And it's such an, it's the whole journey of Iroh and Zuko is so emotional. And this part of it is so hard. Like it's a very hard thing to watch. Luckily we don't have to watch it too long because we go back to the cave where the gang is trying to convince Aang not to go to school again. But Aang has some pretty good reasons. Now, hard to know whether or not they're real reasons or they're like reasons that you give your parents to let you do something when you know that that's not really your reason for doing it. But he's like, no, this is the future of the Fire Nation. Like, this is where I'm gathering intel. You should probably agree that I should go back. See, like, apparently I found out there's a secret underground river that leads directly to Ozai's palace. Wouldn't have known that, you know, if I hadn't been to school. So guess I got to go back. And here we have an enthusiastic Aang saying something that we've said it before. It's truly nearly as iconic as my cabbages. John O'Brien, you gave us the expression Flamio Hotman. This is where we hear it in the episode. You are a legend. I'm just wondering
shucks.
If maybe we should. I want to be a legend also. I'm trying to think if there's like an expression that like is like, what's our Flamio Hotman? Do you know what I mean, Dante? Like, what are we going to bring to the Avatar verse? Like, I don't have my cabbages.
I don't have a Flamio Hotman. No, there and another line that I sign a lot on pictures is in this episode with May when he says, "You're so beautiful when you hate the world." Fans love that line. That's a forever
that's
line.
Sweet
that's a forever
goth
line.
Business right there.
Gothy, yes. you have some heaters in this particular episode. I don't hate you, and I don't hate you also.
Exactly.
Heaters.
Exactly. All right, I guess we'll go back to the show, but I just need to figure out what my own Flamio Hotman is going to be that I bring to the world so that people put my sayings on a shirt, John O'Brien.
Flamio Hotman?
Flamio?
Mm-hmm. All right, so we do go back to the prison. Zuko is basically just outright blaming Iroh for his own situation. Not my favorite moment. And Iroh is, as we said,
he kind of was wanting his help too. He kind of was wanting his help a little bit. He's like, I want the help. I came for it. Then he's like, you're not going to talk to me. Then he starts blaming. I'm not saying it's cool he's blaming. I'm saying he first went with love and kind of, you know.
Okay. All right. If you say so. I don't know if he went with love.
He's trying to justify him
turning on his uncle.
Yeah.
Right?
He got caught up in his sister.
He's justifying to himself.
There you go. There you go. And Iroh won't, he's just not biting. And then, you know, of course, Zuko has this like just great kind of mini tantrum like we would probably all do if we were in that very specific situation that Zuko finds himself in. But, you know,
he's super rough.
He does that thing where he screams at him. And as hard as it is to listen to, I think we're just going to play it right now so that we can.
No,
truly, yeah, play it right we've got to truly no. lean in and see how sad
things.
This is.
Why do you want to go back to these moments?
You're not going to say anything?
You're a crazy old man. You're crazy. And if you weren't in jail, you'd be sleeping in a gutter.
It's all part of the journey, Dante. It's all part of the journey.
We already lived that journey.
Yeah.
Well, it's the next day now. Now we're in the next day. And we're back at the school where Aang is struggling to keep up with the Pledge of Allegiance to Lord Ozai, which is actually called the Fire Nation Oath.
Yes.
You got, anybody want to say it with me? Anybody okay. want to say it with me?
Let's do it.
My life
I give to my country.
To my country. With my hands I fight
for Fire Lord
Ozai. For the Fire Lord Ozai.
And our forefathers
before him. With my mind, I seek ways to better my country.
And with my feet, may the march of civilization continue.
Continue. I'd like to say that when Zuko became Fire Lord, he changed that. I don't think that's rocking anymore like that in the Fire Nation. I'd like to say that. When Aang can't recite along with the others, you know, people are laughing there. And then they're punished by a pop quiz by their favorite teacher about the history of the Fire Nation. And then here we have this really awesome scene where we see how one nation may interpret history different than others. The ones who won get the benefit of saying how they remembered it. And then Aang, you know, he actually says it the way he remembered it. And then the teacher's like, well, if you were there 100 years ago, maybe you didn't. And I love just seeing Aang like, I was there. I know exactly how it went down.
Can't tell them that. Yeah.
We're not saying that, right? Not right now.
Yeah.
So he actually understands the whole Sozin and the Air Nomads and how he was there. And so for sure, it's played out for comedy here. But also, you know, it does explain to everyone how history is built. The winners, the spoils of war is they get to write the history. The winners get to write the history, like it or not. Anyhow, past the distorted history lessons, we get to the music portion of the show. And we get to see now Aang in music class. And he's playing what is that horn?
A sungi horn.
Is that a real horn?
I don't think so.
It's an invention. Okay. I mean,
visually, it might be based on a real instrument, but
okay. But we might have seen this before. Sungi horns. Oh yeah. It was invented. It's an invented instrument for the Avatarverse, and it was actually based or represented by the Armenian duduk.
I think. Yeah.
So
cool.
So when you see or hear something from the sungi horn in Avatar, you're actually hearing a duduk.
We're going to have to ask Jeremy. We're going to have to ask Jeremy when he comes back.
Jeremy,
we'll
is it duduk
he'll give
or
us
is it
pronunciation
duduk?
Lessons. Yeah. And anyhow, speaking of,
I love that he's an airbender playing an air instrument.
Uh-oh. I did absolutely not think about that. That is an amazing observation, my friend. And I do want to say, I did write Jeremy when I was watching this scene to say, like, I always love in movies or in shows when a band is intentionally bad and you sort of imagine the like very well-trained in musicians that they have in a room as they're recording the soundtrack for something. And they're like, and now you need to sound like garbage. Like that just really tickled me. So I wrote him and said, like, did you have a room full of like these amazing musicians that you had to sort of go, no, worse. No, it needs to be worse than that. Even worse than that. Sorry. And he said, no, that he himself played all of the instruments for that wow. scene Amazing. And that he was terrible at them. So in that case, it really was just truly very easily accomplished. He's like, I really didn't have to do anything because I did not know how to play them well. And that's why they have the sound that they have, which I love.
On?
I know. I'm a terrible Soongi hornist.
No, child. That hullabaloo going on with your feet. Is that a nervous disorder?
I was just dancing. You do dances here in the homeland, right?
Not really, no.
Dancing is not conducive to a proper learning environment. Young people must have rigid discipline and order.
But what about expressing yourself?
I know sometimes we're so moved by our love for our nation that we can't control our own bodies. If you must, you may march in place quietly next time the urge hits you.
It's sometimes you're so moved by love of your country that you have to, you can march in place. Anji, this girl, tells Aang how much she likes his dancing. He offers to show her again, but her boyfriend shows up. And he is not feeling it. And you get the sense that this guy is very used to winning the fights he starts, but not this time, because Aang is, you know, being an airbender is all head movement, and the guy can't lay a hand on him. And of course, they both get blamed and punished, which means you got to bring your parents in to meet the principal.
Thank you for coming, Mr. and Mrs.
Fire! Wang Fire! This is my wife, Sapphire!
Sapphire Fire, nice to meet you.
Mr. and Mrs. Fire.
Yeah, next scene. In my opinion, all gold.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. And I'll just jump in and say, I love this because you could have shown us the, like, you know, that would have been fun too. You could have shown Aang being like, guys, I have to tell you something. Like, we could have seen that exposition play out. And I love that you did not do that. I love that you just like sure. immediately
smash
like,
cut.
Yeah, the smash cut is so funny. It makes it even funnier. It's such a great choice. I love it.
Reminiscent of Ferris Bueller's Day Off when Matthew Broderick comes yes. in as the
oh,
father.
Yeah, sure.
Like, because in your mind, you're like, there's no way these kids are going to be parents. And then it's like Matthew Broderick is like playing the father, somehow working. And the same thing with Sokka. Like, it's somehow working the father thing.
Yeah.
Full on Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Sokka talking about how he's going to straighten him out, something fierce. and something Katara, fierce. For some reason, pregnant.
It ages her up. It makes sense. It ages her up. It's like, well, she's got to be a full-grown adult. She's going to have a baby. Absolutely, she's a mom, for sure. No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And I do want to give a special shout-out to Jack DeSena for that scene because, and the animators who, like, that is a beautiful marriage of stuff because in that scene, Sokka is so angry, spittle is actually coming out of his mouth.
Don't you worry, Mr. Headmaster. I'll straighten this boy out something fierce. Young man, as soon as we get home, you're going to get the punishment of a lifetime.
That's what I like to hear.
I swear they actually animated him like spitting with anger. And it is so funny to me. It's such an inspired performance in voice and in animation. That is when you really realize like, oh, it takes a village. It's wonderful. The writing and the acting, the animating.
Jack is a comedy juggernaut. Oh my God.
Yes, he is.
That guy.
It's phenomenal. Yeah.
You want to take advantage of everything he brings to the table for sure. And you absolutely did in this scene. We know now that, like, I guess what happens to you if you misbehave is that you just get sent to work in the coal mine. You just don't get a lot of reform school up. Like, there's not a lot of options. Like, you're behaving or you are working in a coal mine. So that's a little grim. But so we see the Fire family. We see Sapphire and Wang Fire, as you pointed out earlier, John. And it's beautiful. And then we go in and check in with our favorite goth couple, Zuko and May. They're watching the sunset. They're disparaging it. They're making out. And then Azula interrupts them and kind of sends May off so that she can discuss Zuko's visits to Uncle Iroh.
They're making out in front of Azula. They don't stop.
I know.
It's like Azula comes in like, they just go back to it. Like, dude, what's going on? Like, we don't care
it's
about
awkward.
Azula. It's so awkward. We don't care.
Yeah.
The little sister busts into the room and ruins everything.
I constantly have to remind myself she's a younger sister. She's younger.
I don't get it, John. She's a younger sister.
Yeah.
We're so scared of her.
Yeah. So
she's
terrifying.
Like,
yeah, she's terrifying. And she's like, oh, I heard you're doing this. And, you know, it's that classic trick where he's like, how'd you know? And she's like, because you just told me. Classic Azula, always playing that chess game. And
I hate her.
I mean, totally. And she's, you know, she's like, listen, I'm just, watch your back. Like, I'm not going to use this against you. I'm just warning you. And then we go back to the cave where Aang is just very convinced that he needs to do something to help positively influence the future of the Fire Nation. It's very, very important. He's got to find a way to help shape their future, which I guess in his case is just to host a secret dance party. You know, it's those small decisions. It's those small things that you bring to a community that really help shape it.
It's big. It's big.
Yeah. So the party is going to happen at the cave. Everybody kind of helps and does their part. Toph helps to make it into a little bit more of a dance-like setting. The students approach. Appa goes into hiding. Shout out to Appa, by the way, who I have to say does not get to do that much in this episode. He's definitely very undercover in this episode, just not have a lot going on. But shout out to him. The students, you know, the band's playing much better this time. And then Aang is trying to get the kids to dance, and they're just so shy that he's like, well, no, look, it wasn't always like this in the Fire Nation. Look, I'll even show you some Fire Nation moves, right? So he's trying to get them to engage.
We do tease about dancing, but you think about it, it's like we all have memories of like school dances, eighth grade, high school. They're very core memories. So Aang is giving these Fire Nation kids some core memories that they're going to hold with them for the future. So now we're back at the prison tower. Zuko's trying again with Iroh, and this time he's brought in some Komodo chicken. And it becomes clear that Zuko really needs to be able to confide in Uncle Iroh, maybe now more than ever. Zuko tells Iroh that, yes, he's gotten everything he spent the last 3 years dreaming about, but he's still not happy. He feels sure that the Avatar is still alive and doesn't know what to do about it. But Iroh remains silent, so Zuko busts one of his classic petulant moves and just storms off. But his heart's not really in it. I mean, he does it because he's playing it out because he's Zuko. But I don't think his heart's really in it. And then as the scene ends, we see Uncle Iroh is crying. The feel like that one tear from Iroh is like, and it makes everybody feel guilty. We're so guilty, right? But now we go back to the dance party. We go back at the dance party where Aang finally gets the kids to start dancing. And by the way, Katara doesn't seem to love Aang's dancing with a Onji too much. There's a little vibe going on with Onji, and I don't even know what Onji's doing with the jerk guy. She needs to figure that out. I don't know.
Yeah.
She is cute, though.
It's an 80s trope. We don't know why these girls are with these guys.
Yeah, like, what's going to say something to your guy? What's going on? And then we see some pretty sweet hip-hop moves in there. We see a lot of different men. I love seeing the one guy that's always at the club that's dancing super hard but doesn't really know what he's doing, can't really control his body
yes,
too well.
Yeah. You gotta have
it's good. It's the vibe is like, I'm with you. You're not doing good, but you're doing the best ever.
Yeah.
But you captured that guy perfectly. I love that.
So expressing himself very well for someone.
Go for it.
Dance like no one's watching. Everyone's watching.
Finally, like Aang ask Katara to dance, and they do this really wonderful dance. It's kind of part martial arts, part partner dancing, part capoeira. What's that?
Is it capoeira?
Capoeira.
Good call.
Capoeira. Unfortunately, in comes the team of bad dudes by our – does that guy have a name? The Johnny guy?
Hide? His name's Hide, and he is –
He's always – that guy's always a jerk. He brings all the adults with him. Mm-hmm. What a jerk.
Yeah.
And so they come in, they break up the party, and then they are looking for the student with the headband. And then all of a sudden, one by one, headbands keep popping up. All these Fire Nation kids with headbands, guys, girls, everybody. And we can't find Aang. And Aang gets out there clean with the gang. And last second, boom, Earth bends the thing closed. So he's gone, which freaks out one of the students. Like, they're benders. Freaked him out. But
and Aang has laid the seeds of rebellion.
Yeah.
Amongst the Fire Nation youth. Well done. So the end is Zuko basically, you know, coming, you know, he's walking through this quiet industrial part of town. And we sort of realize like, oh, he's come to the conclusion that if I can't have my uncle, I'm going to go to this awful secret weapon that may or may not be a terrible idea, but it's all I got. And it's Combustion Man. And he is the guy that Zuko is sending after the Avatar.
Do not mess with this guy.
Combustion Man.
Yeah, they're going to have to. Everybody, that is the end of the episode. You're absolutely right. Quickly, we want to shout out the extraordinary guest cast. Everyone was so great in this one. Jean Sakata as Mrs. Kwan. We have Tinashe as Anji, Matthew Underwood as Hide and the little timid kid. Noah Luke is Shoji, the little kid that he becomes friends with. Jim Ward is one of the headmasters, is the main headmaster. And then Phil Proctor is that kooky music teacher. But everyone did such a great job as all of those roles and really brought everything to life. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We'll talk about it more when we have Kisu with us again. But all the dance in this is really thoughtful. And there's just like some kind of overlap with these different, you were talking about it too, Dante, the different forms of martial arts that are being incorporated.
Capoeira. Yeah. Capoeira.
And so we know that it's the band. We now know it's the belt from the school uniform, which is why all the kids are able to like quickly, you know, put it on to help Aang make his escape. But one cool thing is that he's wearing the belt upside down, which kind of makes it look more like symbol? His arrow, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
So we talked about our hybrid animals. Thank you for clarifying the toucan puffins. This is why we have the experts on the show.
Oh, forgot the hippo cow.
Oh, we're going to a meat place?
Come on, Aang. Everyone here eats meat. Even the meat.
You guys go ahead.
Oh, yeah, the hippo cow. Even the meat eats meat.
The meat that eats meat. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
The hippo cow. The meat that eats meat.
The meat
hippo
eats meat. He's terrifying.
Cow.
Yeah. He's a terrifying cow. That's
cows in our world don't eat meat, but do hippos eat meat?
Not really. But this one does.
That hippo cow.
When you put the two things together,
he
might get mad.
Creates a hunger for meat. I understand.
They don't have mad cow disease. They don't have mad hippo cow disease out in the Avatarverse.
It just makes sense now. We got to talk about most valuable bending and non-bending. This is an interesting episode because we're not seeing a ton of bending. It's not a bending-heavy episode. What are we talking about? I mean, are we talking about Toph moving the walls so that they can make their escape? Like, what else do you guys think?
There's also the cloud.
The cloud.
There's a talking cloud. Always important. Traveling incognito.
That's all the bending that went on in this episode. I don't think Zuko does one fire bending anything.
Yeah, he's too busy smooching.
Or Zuko.
He's yelling.
He's kiss bending. He's kiss bending like a teenager.
He's tantrum bending when he's visiting Iroh.
A lot of tantrum bending.
Great tantrum bending. I feel like, I mean, the cloud I think is great. I guess I personally will vote for, I'll put my vote in for Toph, you know, getting them out of there by being
into Toph because I like to get away.
Yeah.
The Toph thing.
We like a good getaway. What about most valuable non-bending? That's another question.
A lot of good things.
Maybe the dance. Maybe Aang and Katara's dance.
I think the dance.
I love
for Katang shippers out there, it's definitely the dance.
It's a great dance. It's a great dance, and it ties up with the homage to Footloose in a lovely way, and it's beautifully animated. I'm very comfortable with that. I think that's a great, valuable non-bending moment.
Is good.
It's laying that groundwork for more Katang vibes. Totally. I love it. I agree.
And there's, of course, Azula trapping her brother into saying what he did without doing it. She's so good at bending and non-bending. She's terrifying in everything she does.
We already gave her Machiavellian ways too much of a shout out last episode.
Let's give it to the dance.
We're going to give it up to the dance.
Or the non-bending. I'm just going to give it to Katara in the Fire Nation outfit. Just that moment alone.
Also great.
Non-bending moment.
Also great.
Pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Also great. John O'Brien, thank you so much for doing this episode with us. This was amazing.
This was super fun.
You're a legend.
Yes, you have to come back for more of your episodes because it's so fun hanging out with you
getting
some tidbits from you. And look at the magic that you have written in this episode alone. Flame Yo Hot Man.
Yeah.
You're so beautiful when you hate the world. I hate you. I hate you too. Like there's these things that are just in the zeitgeist of what is in the world, and I love it.
We're excited about anything you're working on and can't wait to hear more as we find out more. So thank you doing this.
I'm working on a fighting game at Riot Games called Project L that people should play next year.
God, I can't wait. I'm a big Riot game player. I'm a League of Legends guy.
I've heard that about you. Yeah.
Let's talk. That's Let's talk, sweet. John. I love the guys at Riot. I mean, all right.
Everybody, cool. I think we know what to say.
Steve.
Hotman. Hotman.
Flameo Hotman.
Flameo.
Have a great week. Flameo.
Talk to you next week. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Avatar Braving the Elements. Want more Avatar? Follow the official Avatar Braving the Elements account on TikTok at Avatar Official Podcast.
This podcast is hosted by Janet Varney and Dante Bosco. The theme song was composed and produced by Jeremy Zuckerman. Audio production and editing was provided by Zeke Rodriguez Thomas and MindGem Media. Avatar Braving the Elements was executive produced by Lynn Keston Sessler. Produced by Lisa Summerscale Steeler with consulting producer Janet Varney, with production support from Kira Chow, and special thanks to Avatar Studios, Garrett Beltis, and Danielle Pretzfelder-Demchik. Trademark, copyright, and phone record, 2023 Viacom International Incorporated, all rights reserved. This has been a Nickelodeon original podcast.